Good morning. So the first mission topic I'm going to talk about is actually Phoebe's mission. Phoebe's was actually started over 10 years ago in December of 2013, actually part of a youth project, and then it's gone on to where it's at today. Right now, I have a lot of volunteers, my dad, my mom, and Brian and Brenda. What we do is it's the first Friday of each month from 4:30 to 6, and we do hygiene pantry. So I have some examples of what we hand out. So this is the average one single person in the household. They get the common bathroom tissue, deodorant, shampoo. We have households of course, a single, but we also have households of about 8 to 10 that come monthly. And they get what they get. So let's say it's a household of 4 in the household. So they get 2 bar soaps. They get, depending if there's adults in the household, if they have deodorant. We go, our average is about 75 to 100 a month. It used to be a little bit higher before COVID, but we know what happened with COVID. Everything changed from that point on. It was actually higher at that point. And we have a huge rush at the very beginning. If you've ever drove by or came to church, at 4:30, you see a huge line that is going from the gate next to the garage all the way to the concrete parking lot out there. And my workers do a great job. Brian and my dad, they are the first line of defense. The customers have to have their ID to prove that they are a Vincent's resident, and then fill out the paperwork, and then they come back to the rest of us, and we actually give them the sacks of whatever they need. So I appreciate everybody that has donated, even the sacks. We go through sacks all the time. So if you have grocery sacks around, and I'm sure Sandy's will ask the same thing, because sometimes we have to double, triple bag depending on the amount of product that we put in the sacks. So thank you for that. The next mission point is the Isaiah House. Some of the Isaiah House major milestones have actually involved St. John's UCC and the youth group too. We were the first group of kids group that actually went out in the summer of 21. They just had studs. They had no drywall, hardly any electrical, and we helped. And we've been out there 5 times, but I've added it up. St. John's Youth has helped them 12 times in the last 3.5 years. Most of what you see on the pictures, you see the youth. So those pictures right there, that was actually 2.5 years ago. We were doing artwork outside. You see a whole ring of youth that are actually painting and doing artwork for the entire house. That group also has a picture in the Isaiah House that is hanging, and since we were actually the very first group that went out there, our picture will never be taken down from the wall. So we are always going to representative. But what the Isaiah House does is it's for children that are taken from their homes, and instead of going to a DCS office, they go to the Isaiah House. Sometimes the child is only in the house for 6 hours. Sometimes it is up to a week, depending on the need in actually finding a foster home. I'm actually on the committee over the Isaiah House, and just this past month, we served 30 students, all from the surrounding area, Davies County, Knox County, Gibson County. There is a Isaiah House down in Evansville, but they, obviously, a bigger community, they only have so many spots in their house. But it's just it's a modest house. It's a new house, obviously, that is only been around for 4 years, and it opened almost 2 years ago. And I appreciate the church and the youth group of helping in the past, and will in the future too. The youth group will help too. Thank you.
Who do I have with me today? Scarlett is here. And Scarlett, I want to tell you about it. Scarlett has her own mission. Scarlett is a trained therapy dog, and she's wearing her official vest. And you'll notice on there it says therapy dog, and it has her name, but it also has the name of the school where she trained, and it's called Got Your Six in Maryville, Illinois. And Got Your Six is a military term. It means I've got your back. And they train, most of what they train are dogs that serve as therapy dogs for veterans who suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder. But then they branched out, and now they have just hundreds of therapy dog teams that go and visit in schools and libraries and in group homes and just everywhere. It's wonderful. Scarlett, I got Scarlett when she was 8 weeks old. And from the moment I got her, I started having her around people. She went with me everywhere, including to church on Sundays. And she's heard Jesus Loves Me as the invitation to the children's moment ever since then. I think she thinks it's like, it's her version of God Save the Queen. It's she hears it, and she knows it's for her, that she's going to work. And but ever since then, when she was about 6 months old, we started obedience training. And we had some success and some not so successes. For instance, she knows how to roll over. She will not do it for me, but her trainer asks her to roll over. Bam. Just bam, bam. How many times you want me to roll over? Bam, bam. Will not do it for me. I'll show you. Let's see if I can get her attention. Scarlett. Scarlett, come. Good girl. Sit down, roll over, roll over, come on, roll over. You want to roll this way? Roll this way then, roll over. Oh, are we going to do it? Come on, roll over. No, you can't have the treat till you roll over. She goes, no, I know you'll give it to me eventually. Come on. See, she will not do it for me. I know. But anyway, Scarlett comes with me. She started going with me to retirement centers when I would take communion. Oh, now you're going to do it? Almost. No, there's nothing there. Nothing there. I'm going to give you back to them. All right. Can you show them that you can sit? Good girl. Yeah, that's my girl. Lay down. Down. Good girl. Good girl. She also knows which pocket has the treats in it. Good girl. Anyway, Scarlett goes with me, and I'm right now with the preschool here at the church. We go in once a month, and I read books to the children, and they get to play with Scarlett and pet her and rub her belly like you all have been doing. I want to thank my two wonderful helpers this morning, and Jana for getting the zoomies out of her earlier. She was zooming all over the place. But anyway, I just want to let you know that Scarlett is a very important part of my mission here, and I hope that you will enjoy her too. And Scarlett has something for you. Vera, would you want to come and unzip her vest and see if there's something inside there? And make sure you all get one. These are Scarlett's trading cards. It's something that her school does, and when she makes a visit, she gives everyone a card to remember her by. And on the back it says, it's got the name of her school, and it says Scarlett, and it has her picture. It says, Scarlett is a Scottish Terrier. She enjoys playing with squeaky toys and running outside. She likes belly rubs and taking naps. She is very friendly and loves meeting new people. And I love the fact that on the slide that they had up for the children's moment, it's got a picture of Scarlett saying, I love my job. And she does. When I put her in the past, she's always had a harness when she was in training, and getting her into the harness, I had to struggle to get her head through. Now I pick up this little vest, and I mean, she stands still, she pokes her head through, she knows she's out to work, and she's going to meet people. So let's have a prayer together. Dear God, we thank you for your love that is shown to us even through dogs. We thank you for their love and devotion. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a couple of missions that I'm going to talk to you about. Let me get this so we're not getting feedback there. Laundry Love is the first mission that I'm going to talk about. And we belong, as a church, we belong to the National Laundry Love Network. There's no cost to the church to be a part of this wider organization, but there are several benefits. We get free laundry detergent, which helps us out for our cost. And we also get the opportunity to network. There are occasional Zoom meetings, and we can get on there, and I can see people from other areas. And we can kind of network and get ideas from one another. There are over 280 Laundry Love locations across the U.S. And the Laundry Love motto is love, dignity, and detergent. Because having clean clothes provides care and dignity for those who can't afford it. Nationwide, there's about 70% of low-income families without washing machines that regularly skip laundry to save money for food and shelter. In Knox County, those living in poverty is regularly around 15%. We're one of the highest counties in the state for people living in poverty. On the last Wednesday of each month, we partner with the Vincennes Laundromat. The church provides the money needed to do 60 pounds of laundry per person. As a family, or as a member of the National Laundry Love Network, we order Earth Breeze laundry detergent sheets, if you've seen those. And again, we can order as many of those as we want, and we can use those free of charge then. There's no, again, no limit on that. The church does buy and provide the dryer sheets, and we pay for each load of laundry. So the family comes in, or the individual, they do their laundry, and all we do is swipe the card to pay for it. We provide the laundry sheets and the dryer sheets. We currently serve between 30 and 50 families each month. That helps the family members at least for that one time a month. It helps them, and we do it at the end of the month because that's when money's the tightest. So that helps them save money maybe for rent, maybe for food, for other essentials. The following is a quote from a homeless individual that kind of prompted the start of the National Laundry Love Movement. He said, if I had clean clothes, people would treat me like a human being. So we can provide that for adults and children within the community. So how can you help? We need volunteers. It takes about 2.5 hours each month. And this involves greeting customers, giving out laundry detergent sheets, fabric softener sheets, and swiping the laundry cards for the washers and dryers. We also need financial support, because if you haven't been to a laundromat in a long time, it's very expensive. Doing one large load of laundry costs almost $6 just for one large load. It's not 75 or 50 cents in the quarter machines anymore. It takes 25 cents to have 4 minutes in the dryer. So it's very expensive. And if you're trying to save up for a washer and dryer, you're spending a lot of money, if you can imagine, every week for a large family just to do laundry. So financial support for the program is very important. But we are making a big difference in the lives of people in the community. You'll see there are families that are affected from the pictures. There's one gentleman that's been coming every month since we started. He lost his wife almost a year ago. And you build a lot of relationships also with people within the community. And it's a great way to share Christ's concern. The next thing I wanted to talk about is the Eden Gardening and Gleaning Project. So across the U.S., I found two different numbers. Between 34 and 44 million people are food insecure. And that's one in five children facing hunger in the U.S. Older adults also make up a significant portion of those who are food insecure. So what does being food insecure mean? That means that individuals don't have access to sufficient food or quantities of food, quality food, to meet their basic needs every day. In 2023, the COVID-era supplements to SNAP were stopped, and this decreased the minimum SNAP benefit from $281 to just $30 a month. If you've been to the grocery store lately, you know $30 isn't going to go very far. In addition, many of these individuals live in food deserts. And a food desert is an area that has limited access to food that's plentiful, affordable, or nutritious. Many of the people served in St. Louis live in areas that may just have a corner store that has canned foods. And someone still has to explain to me why something with no salt costs more than a can of vegetables that has salt in it. So it's really tough for them to find affordable and nutritious food. Most of these people in those food desert areas work low-wage jobs. They don't have a car, and they use a bus to get to work. So it takes a bus trip to go to a larger store that has more options. And if you can imagine trying to carry groceries home on a bus for your family, you're not going to be able to carry much. So in early spring 2019, Reverend Karen Petmeyer, some of you know her as Kay, was in seminary at Eden. And during that time, she was looking at community needs in the St. Louis area and was in discussion with Reverend Kristen Leslie, who's a professor at Eden, about possibly using the garden excesses to help supply food for areas in need. And around that time, Kay and I had lunch, and she was discussing her plans to use garden excess to help meet some of that need. So I mentioned to her that maybe some of the area farmers often have excess or fields that go unused, and that maybe that would be something that we could tap into. Well, Kay and Kristen went, and it has grown and grown and grown. We started with just four trips that first year. I came over, brought people, students from Eden, people from the community, and we did four gleaning trips that first year. Last year, We did over 18,000 pounds of food for Knox County and for the St. Louis area. So one of the pictures that you see there at the bottom right is Lonnie standing with a pile of zucchini that was rejected because maybe the shape wasn't exactly right, the size wasn't exactly right, there was a little bit of yellow color on the zucchini. Grocery stores won't take that. We are extremely spoiled. We want everything to be perfect when we go to the store. So all of that was to be thrown away. So we were able to salvage that and take that and use that, and that's what gleaning is all about. The idea of gleaning, as most of you know, is biblical. In Deuteronomy 24:19, it reads, "When you reap your harvest in your field and forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back and get it. It shall be left for the alien, the orphan, and the widow, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all your undertakings." So gleaning goes back to biblical times when it was our command that whatever was left, that we left it for other people to come in and glean, and for those who are less fortunate to use. And that's what we're doing with the Gleaning Project. We've distributed to Helping His Hands and some to the food pantry here in Knox County, but the difficulty with the food pantry is they don't have refrigeration. So if the timing of our gleaning comes out right, we can send it to the Knox County food pantry. If not, Helping His Hands has refrigeration and they most always take some. And then it also goes to St. Louis. And in St. Louis, if you see the woman on the bottom right, left of the slide, that's Mrs. Pat, and she does a once a week meal for those who are in need. And she was so excited, we about had to drag her out of the field. We were doing cabbage and broccoli at that time, and this was like almost December. We harvested that year really late. And so the broccoli, she said, for just a very small head at that time was about $5 in the St. Louis area. So to be able to get that and help distribute that, these are things that people could not afford that we take for granted with all the fresh produce that we have. So how can you help? If you're able, walking the field and gathering crops is one option. We also sort bags of potatoes, and we'll usually bring those in on a wagon and stand around the wagon and just sort them and put them into bags, and that doesn't require going to the fields. We could also use people, if you want to just ride in the wagon, you can count and bag things out in the field, but just riding along in the wagon. We need people who can help distribute the food to local places once we've gathered it in. So if you just have a truck and you want to be able to drive and maybe take some to Helping His Hands, and if we have food pantry needs, we can take it there. So it usually takes about 1 or 2 hours, and then we enjoy a lunch with those people who've come from St. Louis. And this is a great opportunity for us to learn about the situation there, about the food deserts, and then it's also an opportunity for them to learn about where their food comes from and how it's gathered out of the fields. So it's a great way to fellowship with our brothers and sisters from St. Louis. And if you look in the top right, you'll see you might even get a story or a joke from Bill. And that's Kristen Leslie, who's enjoying, I have no doubt, some big tall tale from Bill at that time. So thank you very much for all that you do.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We started the Blessing Box approximately 4 years ago. And Bill Lathrop was gracious enough to build it for us, and he did an outstanding job. along the way, it got vandalized. And I know a couple of the people that helped load it for Bill to repair it was Steve and Mark. And if I skip someone, I apologize. Another time, the youth refurbished it and painted it. And I remember the kids so excited that day getting ready to paint it. And I appreciate everyone so much. In the beginning, there were challenges. We got some unusual items in the blessing box. And I'm sure some of you remember, Jim told me don't go into detail on that, so I won't. But anyway, there were some unusual items. There were also this clothing items. There were also partially opened packages. And there were a lot of expired items, and it actually made me more aware of expired items. I won't tell you how old I found some in our own closet. I didn't want to take things to the church that I wouldn't want to feed my family. So I started making that kind of a rule, even though I think some people thought I was a little bit harsh on that. But it's hard to say. They can be a week expired, but not 3 weeks expired. So we finally just didn't put things in there that were expired. In the beginning, well, actually, though, we decided we probably hadn't made it clear. It was partially our fault because we hadn't really made it really clear that it was just non-perishable foods that we wanted. And that, so we had to do some work on that part too. And we were getting a lot of items from the community. Sometimes it even seemed like maybe after the rummage sales or things like that. But the bottom line, we had to all remember that it was with good intentions. They wanted to help. And sometimes they just didn't know exactly at that time what we were collecting. It's a lot better now. We try to have the church just fill it, but I'm sure at times it works other ways, which we do monitor it closely. The funding for the Blessing Box has mainly been, was started out being the outreach and benevolence. But that was only for a short time because almost, I would say at least 90% has just been the congregation. And I appreciate every one of you that have brought items to the blessing box. Sometimes they leave it in the cart. Sometimes they put it in directly. And we appreciate that so much. And please continue to do so. I'm sure many of you have noticed that an awfully lot of the time it is empty if you come by through the week. But don't take that too seriously, because if it is filled an hour later, it will be empty. We are still helping a lot of people, and it just cannot be full all the time. But I would appreciate if anyone has ways to make it better. I would be more than happy to try to make that happen, because I know it could be improved upon. Because almost every Sunday, people bring things, but throughout the week, it's empty a lot of the times. I still remember Pastor Debbie Joe bringing up a great idea for Super Bowl Sunday to bring a can of soup. And I'm embarrassed to say that until she said, bring soup for Super Bowl Sunday, that I thought, why are we bringing soup for Super Bowl Sunday? But then when she said it slowly, I understood, and I appreciate it so much. It was very well received, and we had so many cans of soup, and that took care of the blessing box for quite a while. I really appreciate your great idea. And she hadn't been here very long when she brought that up. We're also getting ready, I'm sure as you've noticed, to have the cereal drop. And we have, I haven't counted them, but I'm sure it's 50 or 60 boxes of cereal, and we're hoping for at least 100. And we're going to be having a cereal drop, like a domino drop, in case you're not familiar with that. We're going to be doing that on September 8th for Rally Sunday. So I hope a lot of the children are there that Sunday. And maybe even some of them can help me set that up. We'll talk about that later as to an exact time, maybe the day before or during Sunday school. I'm not sure which. On a personal note, something the blessing box has been special to me. I'm going to get tearful here. Grady enjoys doing that with me so much. And it was kind of cute. One day, Allison brought food, and she and Aunt Grady were going to take it to the blessing box. And he said, no, I have to do that with Nan-Nan. You know, and that was just made me smile so much. And I hope a lot of you are using your children in the same way, because it's a great learning, great teaching moment there to serve others. And I think I hope. I would like to know all the children that have put stuff in the blessing box, so let me know sometime. Also want to thank Jim. Jim has been a big help with the blessing box. But also, it's kind of funny. Sometimes we'll get ready to eat, and we don't have a lot of planned meals like you probably think we do. And he'll mention something. I'll say, no, we took that to the blessing box. So, but we have a good laugh over that. And there's been other laughs throughout the year. I know Mark, I still remember telling him, just as a joke, of course, that the lima beans you bring are always the last thing to go. And it was always kind of funny because that's one of the two foods that Jim will not eat. In closing, at times it seems like I've heard comments that people clear out. I used to hear about a white van clearing out the whole blessing box. I would hear times about little things like that. They just took too much. I know they don't need that much. That's not the purpose of the blessing box. I heard another comment. Do you really think this is making people come to church? I had a quick response on that was, that's not the purpose of it. We hope they do. It's great if they do. But the purpose is, it's the right thing to do. Just remember that. I remember one other item that when I would think about that, about people clearing out the blessing box, I remember how I got burnt a few times as a social worker in my 20 years at the hospital. And I remember my former boss telling me, if you do it with good intentions, then it's good. And I've always carried that through. It's not really up to us to judge. We really don't know what that family's going through. If you see them take the entire blessing box, maybe at times we do get a little taken advantage of, but more than likely, there's more to the story than we know. I even heard the other day from Angie that sometimes a fancy car may come through, but that they certain person brings people from the North End and takes them to some blessing boxes to get enough food for the week, which to me, that is fine. That is the purpose. And just always remember that we know one piece of the story. We don't know the entire story. And the bottom line is, we are helping the community. We are making a difference. Thanks to everyone that contributed, and please continue to do so. Thank you.
The Babe Store was created because a group of individuals saw that new mothers were not getting the prenatal care that they needed, nor getting their babies, their well baby checkups. So they got together, did some research, found this program that they liked, and the Babe Store was open in the year 2000. So we've been here almost 25 years. The store's open on Mondays from 12 until 5:30, except for holidays and any time that the Knox County schools are closed. Any pregnant woman, new mother or father that with children newborn through age 3, parent or guardian that resides in Knox County can use the Babe Store as long as they use Babe Store providers. And the store is not income-based, so anybody can use the store as long as they go to the providers and get the vouchers. The Babe Store is funded through the Knox County United Way, grants from local agencies, private donations, provider fees, area churches, and civic groups, and St. John's, our church, donates the space, money, supplies, volunteers that work at the store, and volunteers that sit on the Babe board. The board members and volunteers are also from other area churches and social service agencies. And one of my volunteers, she lives in Lawrenceville, and her daughter started volunteering at probably the beginning that the store was open. Her daughter got killed in a car wreck, and our volunteer, Sue, has continued to volunteer to this day. And she's in her 80s, and she loves coming over, and it's something that keeps her connected to her daughter. The vouchers are earned by keeping prenatal appointments, attending classes, getting their child immunized, and other activities at participating health provider programs and agencies. We have 12 providers that hand out vouchers, And we have one new provider that contacted me this week asking how to become a provider because they want to give out the BABE vouchers. In 2023, $15,000 was spent in vouchers at the BABE store. During that year, an average of 15 customers visited our store weekly. Through April, I figured up through the month of April of this year, we were closed one day for the eclipse because we didn't want to, you know, mess with all that craziness going on. But we had 47 visits. They used 376 vouchers for a total of $1,880 that were spent at the store just through April. We also implemented a program during COVID where we saw that our customers were struggling to buy food and other necessities for their home. So we were able to implement a gift card drawing monthly to save a lot. So they can put their name in a hat, and every month we draw one $25 gift card to save a lot. We chose save a lot because you can't buy cigarettes and you can't buy alcohol, so all that money is going to food or, you know, home goods. I want to leave it with just a few things that we have heard in our store. These ladies become, I volunteer there a lot, and these ladies become my friends, and I hear all their stories and how they love us and how they couldn't, you know, go without us. So just a couple things. The program means a lot to my family. It has saved us a lot, and we couldn't be more appreciative of them. Another one, I believe the program is amazing. It is a very difficult time for everyone, and money is tight. This is worth every penny. And here's one that I like because we give to them, but this just shows they give back to us. I just signed up for my annual payroll deduction to the United Way to designate my money go to the BABE store. Thank you for all you do for us. We appreciate you.
For individuals with disabilities, it was actually established in 1996 by Attic Incorporated, which Attic is a resource center for individuals with special needs. The membership includes teenagers and adults with a variety of disabilities, developmental, emotional, intellectual, and physical, and we also serve individuals on the autism spectrum. The current membership includes about 60 Knox County individuals. We have an average of attendance of about 40 members, friends, each week. And I have to tell you, it's feeling quite overcrowded because their staff and their helpers come with them. So we are filling up the hall. It's an overcrowded feeling, but we are managing. The group is facilitated by Cheryl Meyer, Mark Welty, and myself, and we have a variety of volunteers as well. But I have to tell you that the real directors and the real bosses of this group are the members themselves. They do not hold back. They tell us what they're free with their opinions and their requests. So I think the mission of the group best describes the impact on the community. The mission is for members to feel valued through the friendships that develop, acceptance, and just simply overall improved quality of life. Opportunities for socialization, communication, advocacy, personal growth, and community service are provided through the weekly meetings and through the variety of activities that we host. But in addition to providing opportunities in a safe and supportive environment for the friends, I believe there's a broader impact on the community. It's more indirect, a more indirect or natural impact, I guess you could say. The Friends themselves, they are exceptional educators. And they naturally promote understanding and acceptance of individuals with disabilities. They model respect, and that difference does not mean less. So I want to say thank you on their behalf. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all the support that is provided by St. John's. I invite you to join us on a Monday evening. I am extremely confident that if you come and join us, that you will leave feeling nothing but joy. Thank you.
Thank you for asking us to present information on Sandy's Pantry. It is a mission of St. John's United Church of Christ, Vincennes, Indiana, in partnership with Vincennes University. We are a food pantry for VU students. We are open once a month on Tuesday and Thursday from 11 to 12:30 on the 4th, 8th, 12th, and 16th week of the semester. So sometimes there'll be the end of one month and on a Tuesday, beginning of the next month on a Thursday, but that works out better with VU schedule that we make it the 4th, 8th, 12th, 16th. We offer non-perishable food items and hygiene products to any VU student who has a valid current VU ID. The present limit is 25 items of food and 7 hygiene items each visit. The students shop for themselves. We don't give them a pre-filled bag. They get to choose from the many items that we have. If they have a family, sometimes we let them take more, especially if they have children or things like that. Sandy's Pantry is located here in the old Parsonage Wing, and Brian and I are the present directors. Women of the Prayer Group began this outreach program about 10 years ago. Several of us had children and grandchildren in college who verified that there were days that they had little to eat or time to eat, since many of them had part-time jobs that may conflict with the food service on campus. National studies that year were done that showed 30% of all college students were not getting enough food to eat on a daily basis. We decided, along with VU, to do something locally. The director of university events at VU puts the word out campus-wide for every time we're open. And at the beginning of each semester, VU conducts a successful food drive for Sandy's Pantry. Brian and I participate in the annual vendor fair that VU has in August, the first week where students are moving in and getting used to things. We meet and greet the students, hand out information, flyers, and explain to them our mission. At that time, they're not thinking about a point in the semester where they may not have food. But if they've got that flyer and they've got that constant reminder, they know that they can come if they get in a tough spot. At the vendor fair, we also have a display that shows what they could get each month. So we take 25 items from the pantry and 7 items from the hygiene area. And they're pretty impressed that they can take that much at a time. By the end of this year, 10 years from our beginning, we have served 2,726 students. Many of those are the individuals. We have had many that have returned week after week after week, and I don't have what that number is. I do can say that twice recently, within this past year, we have had two different people who have come up to us. One was in Walmart. It was a very tall young man talking to his wife on his phone, and he stops suddenly as he sees us, and he says, "You're the people from Sandy's. I would have not have made it through school without you." And then another time was last year at the vendor fair. The table right next to us was a young man and his wife and three kids, and he says, "I remember you. I wouldn't have made it without you." So we are making an important mission here. The problem of food insufficiency on campus across the country, though, is not solved. New national studies are showing the problem for food insufficiency has not gotten any better on American college campuses, but worse. When it was 30% in 2010, it is 41% now of students reporting daily problems of not getting enough food to eat. That's a 10% increase. That's just shocking to me. Other Vincennes local organizations have donated from time to time, and we have been very blessed with VU's food drives and greatly appreciate all the support and donations. When we need to restock, we shop at Dollar Tree. It's the cheapest place we can go. We're trying to keep good quality, but not having to pay more than what we can get there. Now, there are a couple of items we do have to get at Walmart that Dollar Tree doesn't carry, but majority of our items there, and we can spend anywhere from $300 to $500 a month. How can you help? Sandy's Pantry is supported by you through the outreach and benevolent giving and donations to the Sandy Pantry Food Cart in Memorial Hall. We only use shelf-safe, non-perishable items, such as canned vegetables, packages of ramen noodles, boxed mac and cheese, boxed pasta, canned pasta sauce, rice, canned or cupped fruits, banana chips, Pop-Tarts, pretzels, popcorn, peanut butter, jelly, canned chicken, canned tuna, Vienna sausages, pork and beans, several types of canned soups and chili and stews, crackers, shelf-safe milk, breakfast cereal, oatmeal, instant coffee, and green and black tea. We try to have a variety for the students to choose from, not just 25 items. As far as the hygiene products, we offer toilet paper, men's deodorant, women's deodorant, shampoo, bar soap, toothpaste, toothbrushes, tampons, and laundry detergent, and can openers. You can think that coming in and being able to get cans of food and then not having any way to open it, it's not a number one thing that the students pack, so we have can openers. If there is an emergency and a student can't come on one of the days that we're open, we tell them that they can call and arrange a time to meet us. Brian and I are both retired. We don't live that far away. And we try to accommodate any student who may be having a sudden problem. When the students come in, we try to give the students suggestions on meal planning, healthy snacking. Carry healthy snacks with them in their backpacks if they have several classes in a row. And most of all, plan ahead to eat something healthy every day. We have a safe and welcoming place. We give them encouragement, understanding, and friendship. We offer them church. Their smiles and their thanks is our reward. Jesus said to feed his lambs. That's our mission, that no student at BU goes hungry. Thanks go to Carol Culp, Lynn Simmons, and Cheryl Meyer for helping with the pantry, and also many thanks to Will and the youth group who do a end-of-year inventory for us, separating out the expired items. And thanks to all of you for your support. It's an investment in the education of our leaders for tomorrow.
First, I'd just like to say, wow. I thought I was fairly well acquainted with the benevolent and outreach efforts that we have made as our church, but I learned something from every one of those. I mean, most of these people sit on our committee, and I hear a lot about it, but I hear more right here than I usually do in our committee, so I was impressed with what we've heard so far. I know we're running long, so let me, I try not to take too much time, but there's some things that need to be said. So, all that we've talked about so far has been local giving, but that's not all our local work here. We also, we have Kids Hope. Kids Hope is our mission with Riley School, where we mentor kids as identified by the teachers there and the staff there, and we meet one-on-one once a week for an hour, or sometimes it's less than that depending upon how things work out with the schedules and so forth. I go there once a week. I always come out smiling because those kids, I mean, I see my kid, And I have some one-on-one time with him. But, you know, he had the idea. He wanted to have a friend come with us. Well, I didn't want to be off by ourselves. But what we do, we have our own time together, he and I. And then we come up when it comes time to eat. And he gets to invite two or three kids out of his class to come and sit at our table. And they're all wanting to know, you know, when can we come? Because they all, you know, you get to know all these kids, and it's just a joy. So I encourage anyone who may be interested to think about Kids Hope. We don't proselytize to the kids. I think of our song, you know, "They'll Know We Are Christians by Our Love." That's very related to the song that we just sang, "They'll Know Us by Our Love." And I think let our actions speak for what we do. So I would encourage anyone here who maybe have an inclination. I guarantee you won't enjoy it. You'll enjoy the kids. I tell you, it's something to think about. Okay, enough on Kids Hope, but that's a good one. And we provide support for activities there. We're going to have an activity coming up. Where's Jerry? I don't see her here. But anyway, we're going to have 1972, and that takes a little money to do that. That's the place out on KCIRC that the kids enjoy going to. Okay, other things that we support. Backpacks of Love. That started right here in this church. It's now a community-wide effort, and it's no longer located here, but we still support it. Food pantry. We always donate to food pantry. LAM, we have been a supporter of LAM since it began, and we have every time we meet, we donate money to LAM. We support the LAM banquet. Our school nurses, we support them because they see needs that kids have. Sandy's Pantry, you've heard about. Phoebe's, you've heard about. Friends, Babe. The Lou Lichty Fund is an agreement we have with Riley School to help those kids that come to school, they don't have socks on, you know, or they need a jacket, things of this nature. The Lou Lichty Fund we support. KETA, that stands for Kids Equipped to Achieve. These are school supplies for kids. We support that, and we have for years. Salvation Army. We support Salvation Army. Helping His Hands. We've supported Helping His Hands. We always have some needy families every year that come knocking on our door that we provide direct help for. Okay, those are our local things that we have done. As far as the greater church, worldwide church, our church's wider mission, OCWM is the acronym. We've always supported that. That money goes into our Indiana-Kentucky conference, and it goes from there wherever the need is. It may be worldwide. It may be there. One time we had a tornado here, and some of that money actually came down back here. We support Q, which is our United, Eden, and Chicago ministries. Seminaries, thank you. The word eluded me. That's what I said. I needed some help there. And we support that, and we've always supported that. An investment there, by supporting that, that's an investment in future pastors that, you know, so that's, we support that. The Miriam camps that we have just up the road, we're lucky that, you know, Miriam's not that far from here. And we've always supported that. And we used to have our annual picnic there, if some of you remember. We've had, you know, we've supported the Ukraine folks, Ukraine relief, tornadoes, Back Bay Mission down where we've had work groups go to. In the past, we had United Community Social Ministries locally, Loaves and Fishes here, the Back Bay, well, I said the Back Bay Work Crip. I'm trying to hurry through this. I want to thank Sherry for doing all the work and getting the posters ready. If you hadn't had a chance, take a look at the posters out here, and it gives you a good picture of all the things that we've been doing for the last 30 years. And if you look in your bulletin, you'll see in the last 30 years, the amount of money that's come into this church that we have paid out for other agencies like that is almost $1,689,000. I did a quick look at it again myself just this morning, just to go back and see for the last 15 years. And it's been $852,000. That's just about half of what we've given for the last 15 years. So, and what can you do? Well, you can continue to designate money as well as to the monthly expenses of this church. We need that, as you all know, to keep the lights on. We've got to have that before we can do anything else. But also donate to the Benevolent Fund, because that money that goes there is spent in this fashion. It's not that we're going to take it and use it for anything else. It goes to help other people that have needs. And that's one thing that I have always been, I'm going to say it, proud of this church, is we've always been a strong, benevolent church. And I don't know about other churches, but I think we are one of the few churches where you designate for the Benevolent Fund as separately from the regular general fund. So that's the money. You make those decisions as to where that money goes. I want to thank you for contributing, and thank you for this time. I think it's been great. It's something that, like I say, I've learned something. I hope you all have too, and thank you for your time.